One over 11-1 over 9-1.
I think the horse won so easy. I mean, I saw a couple of them. They're going to save that energy.
Back, they walk back
exactly.
To the
like,
table.
I got this one. Let's see what's next.
I'm not going to showboat. I'm not going to gloat. I'm not going to go overboard.
That's what I think
save
that was.
Save a couple of cheers. Because when you do that, you know, it backfires sometimes. Karma's not nice to you in racing every now and then.
You wrap up sometimes to save a little for the next time when you're a jockey, and you can do the same as
a contest
player.
So the guy moonwalking across the carpet right now because he had the exacta and the win place in the contest. Either that's grandstanding or no?
I think you're allowed. I mean that's going to be an awfully nice exacta, but you want to keep that chi. You know what I'm saying?
You know the mandatory payout at Gulfstream in the Rainbow Six. I don't. A lot of the players here playing that as well as the contest.
Oh, sure, for
sure. And with the start of that, and then big price. As you mentioned, Steve, normalcy in the third leg of that Rainbow Six. I think a lot of people are going to be watching the final three legs of that bet in addition to the contest.
No doubt about it.
Throughout the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Horse players, I mean, it's a myth. There are some, but it's a myth that all contest players are only betting contests. So many players have been brought in and fire money, and you'll see it here today, and you'll see it at live bank events as well around the country, whether it's East Coast or West Coast. But you were telling a funny story about two of the regulars from the Logan Suite, each Florine and Leo. They play tickets together sometimes.
They play tickets together all the time.
And today, one of them, Florine has the
Florine goes all in the first leg, $118 horse is great. And in the next leg, he doesn't have the six, but Leo singled the six. And I'm looking at him going,
do you guys talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
have you met? They're sitting right next to each other for crying out loud.
That's brilliant.
It's post time at Santa Anita. Casey, because of who she is and because of her march toward the Oaks, Bellafina, 1-9, but probably worth keeping an eye on. And I think we got enough time. Yeah, we got enough time at Gulfstream because we do not want to miss the allowance try, the two-turn allowance try of Global Campaign, the Curlin out of the AP Indy Mare Globetrot, and really, by all rights, a fairly reasonable purchase as a Keeneland Yearling, 2.25.
You know, we got a minute to Gulfstream on the TV, but I can go get a sandwich at the buffet and maybe
haircut,
pour a Diet Pepsi and come back and sit here. I think we got plenty of time until Gulfstream runs.
Well, we'll have Bellafina.
By the way, I expect a better effort from Mother, but Bellafina is 1-9 for a
stand
reason.
In the way. 4-1 for the Oaks, for goodness sake. Supposed to put this one to bed. It'll be fun to see what kind of an effort we get from Bellafina.
Six
pretty exciting.
6-1 second choices. Doug O'Neill's got Anaya Arab and Mother, both 6-1, and then 18-1 on Calf Moon Bay, who's not terrible, and Tomlin, 30-1 for Steve Specht down from Gulfstream. Here we go with Frank.
Tomlin is very quick from the blocks and goes right to the front. Mother, Bellafina is also hustled right in there. Anaya Arab, 4 across the track. And Calf Moon Bay is the early trailer. Bellafina takes the initiative around the first turn, opens up a length. Mother moves into second. Anaya Arab is third. Tomlin fourth, now 2.5 off Bellafina. And another 2 back to Calf Moon Bay. Onto the backstretch they go. And it's Bellafina getting some heat from Mother, who's a neck back second. Anaya Arab is a joint third on the inside of Tomlin, and it's another 4 to Calf Moon Bay. They're heading to the half-mile pole, and Bellafina maintains a half-length lead on Mother. Anaya Arab and Tomlin still right together, 3 lengths off Bellafina, and still another 3 or 4 back to Calf Moon Bay. Heading to the 3/8 pole, Bellafina's been prominent every step of the way. Mother, just a head back second. And Naya Arab coming after them now. Tomlin losing ground and Calf Moon Bay. Approaching the quarter pole, Bellafina, Mother, Anaya Arab, Calf Moon Bay. They're at the top of the stretch, and Bellafina now gets her cue. Anaya Arab is finishing well. Calf Moon Bay on the outside, Mother. It's Bellafina by a length and a half. Anaya Arab running the race of her life, trying to get to Bellafina. Bellafina fully extended. Anaya Arab on the outside. Bellafina wins the Las Virgenes. 3/4 of a length. Anaya Arab was a solid second today, then Calf Moon Bay and Mother.
Yeah, no, I tell you, I can imagine. I haven't had a chance to talk to Simon Callahan much, but that's a good gut check on the road, you know, on the road toward the Santa Anita Oaks.
I tell you what, she had a great two-year-old campaign, right? And then she comes back in her first start this year and just dominates in easy fashion, doesn't take a deep breath. I think you're going to want to see that from her, a race like today, when you line up against the top fillies on the first Friday in May.
Yeah, battle testing is a thing, and she got some there. You wouldn't necessarily call it stylish, but it could be very, very useful.
Oaklawn is about 3 minutes away, and this is a mandatory. Let's get a good look here, and we're gonna sharpen up those skills, you know, so that the agent, you know, can grab a hold of the bit and run with you.
Right. It's hilarious.
So we got a mile, 20,000 claimer at Oaklawn and a muddy track. Oaklawn's tricky because they're one of those racetracks that the Department of Ag doesn't let them put any chemicals on their track. So it won't dry out fast. There's not a lot of chemicals to help it dry out. So when you go to good, it gets deep. And when you go sloppy, it's more of a firm sloppy. When you get good, that water gets down in there, and it really is a great place to pick a long shot and try and get a price because all it takes is liking the surface.
It's an interesting read and a race where there certainly are long shots to choose from. I would say that you got plenty of people in the field right now who are taking anything 6-1 and lower and probably not even hardly looking at it, to just making this desperate attempt if you're in that bottom quartile to try to get yourself up into contention. You've picked a long shot or two in your day. You got any of your pet angles leaping out at you here at the longer end of the odds spectrum?
Well, it's fun. A couple of notes about this race. And by the way, if you play Oaklawn throughout the meet, and they stay open a lot later this year, they stay open through the Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
So plenty of opportunities to play. What I think is top-class racing in Hot Springs, Arkansas. But two trainers to me stand out in here, one of them being Norm McKnight, a Woodbine-based trainer. For the first time in his career, he took horses last year down to Oaklawn and just had a great meet. Now Norm McKnight is clicking at 26%, 5 first 19, and with 9 top 3 finishes. He's got the 6 Ing or Inge, 0-4 at Oaklawn. It looks like a giveaway to me for a gelding who has a ton of back class, but is off form, poor off form, and was beaten as the favorite last time out. The other trainer I want to mention, and a horse actually I like in here, Holiday Mischief, a 9-year-old, still going strong, 1 win and 2 starts at Oaklawn. What I like is Federico Villafranco. That's a trainer to keep an eye on as well. High percentage guy. You'll notice he lost him at age 8 then, but lost him, claimed him back, claimed him for 10 last time out, and doubles the price, runs him for 20. Trainer's 25% first off the claim, and he's going to double
Danny
the price
Caldwell
for a 9-year-old that he knows.
Yeah,
and Caldwell wants to win races.
Yes,
that owner wants the owner title. So if you're going to, he's going to put him in spots that are rather aggressive normally. To me, that is a big positive sign to see the 10,000 claim run for 20 for connections that love to get in the winner's circle.
In form should get a positive ride, I would think, in the top part of the field too. Very interesting at 6-1 if that's within your within what you can still do if you're somebody playing in the contest. But for those of you betting along at home, definitely one to pay attention to.
Yeah, it looks like a rather paceless race. Maybe the 3 Vapor Man, a 6-1 from a 15-1 morning line. I mean, John's holding court, right, in the saddle. He's riding for Randy Morris and 4 wins, winless at Oaklawn, winless on and off track. But with that inside draw and not a whole lot of zip signed on here, is there a chance Vapor Man sits a nice trip on or near pedestrian-like fractions?
I think he'll be in the lead. I don't think he's got the finish to hold off the best of these who might be close, including it's depending what we're going to get out of Inge at this point, but certainly the other one you mentioned, Holiday Mischief. What do we think about the favorite in here?
Well, who is the favorite? Is it the 1 or the 2?
It's the 2 at the moment, but the entry...
The entry's 5-2. Okay,
yeah,
I'll
bet
start
close.
With the entry. Hardly a secret. By the way, Diodoro off to a really slow start at Oaklawn. 7% for a trainer that usually clicks in the high 20s.
Wins in bunches, yeah.
To me, 40,000 last time out, last fall, runs for 20 here. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Kermit is the 2 horse coming in fresh from Remington. Asmussen and Santana, boy, they're lights out as a jockey trainer combo, no matter where they are.
Absolutely. I just feel like Kermit's going to be far enough back. I'm definitely willing to take a shot against at a short price on a track with question marks, as you were pointing out before.
Yeah, frog in my throat, maybe, if he's too far back. I went on Kermit.
There, I gotcha. Wow. I gotcha. I couldn't sell it.
Making some green I couldn't with Kermit.
Who doesn't want to be in the Vercruzzi business with wit like this? This is gold. Gold.
It's not easy being green.
Boy, oh boy. And making green. They're just about set, and we've got about four more to load.
It's a rainbow connection here in Vegas.
Bellathena paid $220 and $210, of course, and now on to other more promising things. At Gulfstream, they're on the turn, we should mention as well. This is the 10th, but we're going to stay with the mandatory because of its actually, you know what, Casey? Pull up Gulfstream, and let's get the – we'll get the end of it. And then go back to Oaklawn.
This is the trailer, Curlin Gray. Opening quarter speed was 23-1. Strong pace as Blue Steel has the lead a length and a half. Global Campaign stands second, and Standard Deviation is watching his every move. And the favorites are moving together, and they're moving right now after Blue Steel. Back to fourth and Awesome DJ, then Shazier, and he's smoking hot. And still at the back with pace to chase is Curlin Gray. Inside half a mile away to the first finish line, and with the advantage, it's still Blue Steel. But on the outside, here's the big favorite, Global Campaign, up to challenge for the top. Back to third is Standard Deviation. From the back, Awesome DJ has made a touch of ground with He's Smoking Hot. Down inside in Shazier, five back to Curlin Gray as they run to the top of the stretch.
Wow.
With the advantage, it's now Global Campaign,
wow,
who gets away to lead by 2.5. Standard Deviation is all in but up into second. Blue Steel is back to third, then Awesome DJ. Less than a quarter of a mile to go. It's Global Campaign looking good off the top of the turn with a four-length lead. Standard Deviation in his three-year-old debut trying to get back on terms. A late run from last in Curlin Gray to the first finish line. Here's Global Campaign. He'll win it and win it geared down by 3 in the end. Standard Deviation was second. Up for third was Curlin Gray, then Awesome DJ and Blue Steel in 144 and one.
Now to Oaklawn.
They straighten away at the top of the stretch. And it's hardly a secret toward the inside. Inga to the outside. Holiday Mischief is going to have to get going. And then down the center comes Dr. Lee as they come to the finish here. Hardly a secret. Hardly a secret has scampered clear. Dr. Lee races into second position. Finishing third was Inga.
Now, 5-2, part of that entry. Dr. Lee, 5-1, and there was just even not even much of a murmur. Everybody kind of relinquished. The hushed tones should be over the Stan Huff monster.
Looked good. Looked really good. We talked about the Bellathena performance being useful and good, but not necessarily stylish. This one's stylish. Definitely a horse that's going to be appearing on various lists as we go forward based on the visual effort. We'll see what the figures say, but visually very impressive.
Yep, hold on. There you go.
Oh, not that I know, but if you're playing 3-5, that's kind of how you want him to win, right? Like the Gulfstream.
Absolutely. If you single there, you did never an anxious moment.
And speaking of that, at Oaklawn, part of the entry getting a win, if you watch halfway through that race, loaded, and if you have your money, that's such a great feeling, isn't it? Wall of horses in front of you, you're tucked in behind, you're loaded with energy, finds a way through and wins going away.
It's one of the most exciting things when you're in that stretch run and you get that feeling of being, when that hole opens up and you the anxiety of getting stopped goes away and you get that thrill of being on the winner. It's one of the reasons we love this game. Aaron, thanks so much for coming by and yapping with us.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
And we'll be in touch. I'll holler at you.
I'll see you guys down the line somewhere, though. I promise.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I will be back.
No doubt about it. You hanging out tonight? Are you going to be – you'll be around? Good. Well, we'll see you later.
Aaron Vercruzzi, everybody, and, of course, the long run at HRTV.
Cheers,
and
buddy.
XBTV, and one of the great sports and characters around punditry.
One of my favorites. I mean, his vibe, his on-air vibe to me is one that racing can really use because it's like that of a party host. And I think that's that's a great vibe to have, because that's what the racetrack can be. I mean, not that there's no criticism of other approaches, but when somebody can give you that kind of knowledge, but in a way that isn't pedantic and just make you see how much fun he's having, and, you know, he's still taking some time away from the game, but whatever his next move is, I know I'll be following. Big fan of that guy. Just don't tell him I said anything nice about him, please.
No, when I was getting started on the show and you know, bringing people on, he was always so nice to me and everybody, actually, the HRTV team, top to bottom, and really, you know, had forged the relationship with, in terms of the networks that were out and available. That was really the connection that ended up making. And
very cool.
You know, I everybody there, Millie Ball and Zoe, and you know, he and Siegel used to every Breeders' Cup and every Derby, we would get a Siegel Vercruzi, and I would just let them do their act.
That's great. It is, and it's a great act. It's a great act. Those guys, so much fun. Can't wait to see what we see next from Aaron. And you're right. That is a great team. A lot of talented people out that way.
There's an objection at Oaklawn. They're flashing the one.
Oh, interesting.
And so we'll see what happens there.
Now,
and
now that's a lot. We were talking about how great that feeling is, how quickly it can turn to horror when you see that number blinking. We'll see when we see the head-on. I didn't catch it live, but a little distracted.
They are about 2 minutes away to the end. Ray Arsenault stopping by.
You got a minute?
Sit down,
30
Ray.
30 seconds.
Well, what do you look? Ray's watching something.
Oh, you have a live route here?
I bet.
All right. Well, watch your race. Watch your race. Or unless you want to watch and talk, you can talk us through your route. Ray Arsenault, of course, former NHC champion, one of the people responsible for the fantastic Pegasus contest. Who are we sweating here for you?
Ed Larmy.
Chris Larmy.
Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
Get a pick. Here I'm on number 4 at Tampa Bay, race number 10. And we got to beat a 6-5 shot, but we're hoping we can do it.
Excellent. You've got a couple minutes here to post, or 1 minute anyway, but it looks like it might be a little bit longer.
No, he's the right price for me where I'm sitting. I was 67, 69.
Yeah, you were right. You were right on the cut.
Now I'm a little behind. I need to cash one of these or one of my. I have some big plays at the end.
You have bullets left?
I have. This will be after this race. I have two, and
okay.
Then the mandatories.
Okay.
And I have two prices. So
in mandatories.
In the optionals and the mandatories.
What's it like, Ray, walking around this event as a former champion? Do you get any special reactions? Do people acknowledge that your achievement from 2 years ago?
Yes, I get a lot of highs that I would have never gotten before. So yeah, people stop and say, "How's it going?" And it's quite nice to have that, you know. So,
Canadian winners 2 years in a row at this event. Are you going to let somebody else win this year, or are you a little more going to try to keep it in the family a bit longer?
I'm hoping Littlemore wins this year. Last I saw, he was in fifth, so he's got a shot. And I told him, unfortunately, I don't know what happened with the Eclipse Awards, but he never did get... to say his speech and to get the award at the show, so I'm not sure what happened.
If he wants to give it on here today, he'd be more than welcome. If you see him, tell him to come by and say hello. We'd love to see him if he gets a minute, but he's obviously pretty busy right now in 5th and 116th as of the last leaderboard update. Is he somebody you knew before he won the NHC? Did you know him from...
Only just seeing him at Woodbine.
Gotcha.
But I told him yesterday when he was up there, I said, don't rip that speech up yet from this year because you can say it next year.
He
laughed and he said, yeah, I'm going to save it. So he's confident.
That's excellent.
He's a heck of a handicapper. So it would be the first time anybody's ever repeated back-to-back would be something.
You're drawing live for the same honor. And Paul Matisse also, last I saw, still holding up the banner of the former champions. Do you root extra hard for the other your fellow champs?
Well, I'm rooting for Paul. He's up for that bonus. I'd love to see somebody get that.
Yeah,
bonus.
The bonuses have been tough to convert, right? That's been a challenge.
But, yep, Paul's
He's got two in the top 67 right now.
Yeah.
So You know, he's a great handicapper, and it'd be great to see him or a little more, or myself. That would be nice.
You wouldn't mind seeing that.
I feel the same. Like 2 years ago, you get the nerves, the heart starts pounding. My wife's checking the site, and she texts me when I hit that long horse. But I've never seen so many bombs come in today like they've been coming.
It's all been fast.
So many caps. So many cap horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fast and furious.
Well, we probably have another 10 minutes before they go in at Tampa. The way they're
messing around,
with,
too.
Gulfstream on the drag. Yeah.
Well, we'll let you, when the time comes, we'll let you sweat your race in peace. But hang with us until they're a little bit closer to the gate. We talked about bonuses right now. The bonus baby with the best shot is Joe Rosen, the rookie tour winner. $175.50, currently in 11th place. That's certainly a story that people are following. Is he somebody you've met along the way, Ray?
No, I don't really know him, but I'll be cheering for him, yeah.
Be great. A great story.
Yeah, be a great story, especially a rookie.
We talked recently about your experience at the Pegasus and how well received it was. Incredible amount of money bet this year. What was it? Up close to $3.5 million handled just within the contest. How have the player reactions since the event? Putting aside the buffet debacle, which I'm sure will be fixed, how have the reactions been in the wake of the Pegasus?
Well, I was talking with Nate yesterday. He's been getting some replies. And we're going to have a little meeting, and I don't really know because they're going to Nate. We haven't received any, and next week we'll talk and find out, you know, the buffet for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, that's small. To me, I mean, you know, compared to a contest where the house is putting up the entry fee, yes, it's a mistake, but it's small beer. What you guys have done with that, and it'll be fixed. So what you guys have done, I just, you know, from all horse players, thank you for your tireless efforts to make that a reality. I think it could be one of the things leading to a sea change in the way we do contests to make them even more player-friendly than they already are. And,
oh,
and it's great work that you've done there.
Man, we really appreciate your plugging us at all times on Steve's show every week. It's fantastic. And the article you wrote on the top two winners and the little piece with me in it was great.
I'm glad you dug it.
I really appreciate it.
Just want people to know what a great thing it is. All right, they're going in the gate. We can let you go sweat this one.
Okay, I'm nervous. This is a nice price. 13-1 would maybe get me in.
What's the number again? Remind us one more time.
Number 4.
Number 4. All right, we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Godspeed, buddy.
Monte Cristo, and we'll see what happens. But we got a story yesterday that I'll tell you afterward. We'll let them run it. This, of course, is the Endeavor. She's pretty lucky, 29-1 for Keneally. Get Explicit, Barbara Minchell down from Canada, 3-1. Bonnie Arch, Ian Wilkes, 23-1 with Gallardo. Monte Cristo, Trombetta, and Cape Blanco for the Pons family. Country Life Farm, 13-1. Conquest Hard Candy, 14-1. Antonio Sano, the Candy Ride mare, and the jock must have changed because there's no jock listed. Hawksmoor, of course, is your favorite. 6-5, 6-5, and the clear favorite. 11-1 on Viva Vegas, who I like. Viva Vegas.
Punch play.
Correas. Good year for Roses now, of course, on the East Coast. 7-1. Street with No Name, 73-1. Bombshell, 8-1. Here we go.
Is Hard Candy. Is away early, and there goes Bonnie Arch. Now moving up to gain the early lead. Down along the rail, she's pretty lucky. Up on the far outside, Bombshell will try to cross over. Monte Cristo right there in the mix from between horses. And the last horse away is Street with No Name. As they make the charge to the clubhouse, turn. That's Goodyear for Roses. Along the rail now with the lead and the margin 2.5. Down along the inner rail, she's pretty lucky. With a ground-saving trip, Conquest Hard Candy. Now moves up to challenge. A length and a half farther back, Get Explicit tips out to the two-path. Then it's one length farther back to the favorite, Hawksmoor, saving ground down along the inner rail. From between horses, Monte Cristo with blinkers on today. 2.5 lengths farther back to Goodyear for Roses. A length and a half farther back to Viva Vegas, and the trailer is a Street with No Name as they continue their journey up the backstretch. Bonnie Arch and Gallardo take them along now on the lead, three parts of a length. Card Quest, Hard Candy, on the outside, racing along second. Get Explicit is there toward the rail now. Third, Bombshell is set down for the drive on the outside for it. Monte Cristo is now racing along fifth as they approach the quarter mile pole. From the outside, Conquest Hard Candy strikes to the lead. Get Explicit tips out and now going after the leader second. Bonnie Arch is there toward the rail now, racing along third as they straighten away in the run to the wire. It's Conquest Hard Candy still in front. Here's Hawksmoor charging down the center of the racetrack and way out on the outside. Viva Vegas, the gray horse is absolutely flying. Hawksmoor to take it by a diminishing 3/4 of a length. Viva Vegas flies on to be second and running time on the board, 140.83.
Hawksmoor, if you singled her, you breathe a sigh of relief. Viva Vegas came running and just got there a little late, 10-1, and will settle for an exacta. But, thought there was a couple of strides that
she would get there. Good shout by you, Steve. Good shout by you. Unlucky not to get the job done. Just ran out of room, and the favorite found just a little too much.
Stay with it, Ray. Don't lose hope. 6-7-5-9, good year for Roses, who set the pace, and of course has been away. That'll be a useful return, and so you've got the 7-5. 7-5 on Hawksmoor is a nice price.
Not too bad. Not
right?
too bad in the end.
Not too bad at all. There is our filly up on the screen, actually, Minute Mouse, as they get ready to go toward the gate at Aqueduct. The Oaklawn Stake scene. You're 17 minutes away from. You're 17 minutes away here from the King Cotton. Keeping track of that, and at Gulfstream, you're 9 minutes away from the other stake there as well. So it's all pulling together. I set the alarm so that I wouldn't miss the race in
Smart.
New York. The El Prado, and kind of an interesting field, and this is the next mandatory, so 12 after the hour for the Gulfstream 11th, and there you go. A little Chris Larmy, if you would,
Chris,
with Pete.
We were just talking about the how hard it's been for people playing for bonuses. You know all about this. You're one of them. You've got two entries. The bonus eligible for $1 million at $47.40. Your better entry right now, $80.60. Where do you feel? Is it starting to feel a little bit late for you, or you feel like you got time here still?
Oh, yeah, it's feeling late. It's feeling late. Oh, that last race summed up my day. I had the 7-horse.
Ah,
I came charging on the odds-on favorite and ended up getting beat a neck. So.
Yeah, that was tough. Steve tipped the horse, and I told him it was a great pick. That's just absolutely unlucky.
Oh, yeah, and the 6 had a perfect trip. So any kind of, any luck at all, I think the 7 could have got there. But
yeah, it was a winning race. It was the right pick. We talk about it all the time, how, there's two parts of the process. There's making good decisions, and then there's getting the outcomes you need to go along with them. Has that been the story of the tournament for you so far?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, some days it's your day, and some days your horses run second and third, and some day they get the trips and win. I haven't been able to catch the winners. I've had some prices run third, quite a few long shots run third. But
how many optional plays do you have left on each ticket?
I have 5 plays on each ticket.
Okay, so I mean that's good, and we still have what, 4 mandatories left?
3, I think.
3. Okay, so 8 races. I would assume. Actually, I don't know the answer. With your ticket with 80, are you changing either your goal or how you're playing at this point? Are you still pretty much playing who you like?
No, I have to be a little more aggressive now.
Cap horse aggressive? Or what's the lowest price you would take?
No, not necessarily cap horse, but in some of the mandatory races, I probably had horses I thought were solid plays at, 4-1 or something, and they're just not going to, they're not going to help me now.
Right,
so
right.
I'll probably have to, drop down to something a little more speculative.
And what about in optional races? What's the lowest number you'd look to take there?
I'm probably going for double-digit odds in any optional place.
Gotcha. We had a couple, we're going to put you on the spot if you don't mind. We had an interesting conversation before about ways of trying to shake up the final table, potentially with the idea of eventually getting the event on television. Has it ever been discussed, the idea of taking the final table format? You're, of course, for those who don't know, the head of the NHC Players Committee, taking the final table format and trying to make it live bankroll, something a little more dynamic, a little more movement between the 10th spot and the first spot along the way. Has that been discussed, and what's your personal take on it?
Probably anything has been discussed. But one of the things that we've tried to preserve is not to have someone's good first 2.5 days be wiped away on the final table. So, that just seems kind of unfair if all of a sudden, you know, they had a really good first 2.5 days and now that big advantage they built up kind of disappears because you change the format all of a sudden in the final table.
I can see that.
So that's one of the big stumbling blocks of doing any kind of thing, anything radical. I mean, I don't say not necessarily that you couldn't violate that, but that's been sort of something that's held us back from
making a radical, you could reset the scores too. That would be another way of promoting movement, but that would have the same problem.
If your goal is to make it exciting, when we first pitched the final table, there was really two ideas initially when we were going to go to some sort of cut. And Mike Mayo wanted to do a head-to-head, like a U.S. Open tennis tournament thing.
It's fun, but how do you do a head-to-head in one race?
And I said, that's not going to work. That's too far. But, we could go to a final table like a poker thing. So that was what we ended up doing. But I was really pushing, so on the final table, it's you wipe it clean. Just you make that final cut, and everyone starts at equal.
Yeah, that's interesting.
From an excitement, because my big thing was I wanted to make it as exciting as possible.
Yeah.
In terms of format, and that's pretty exciting. All 10 guys. Once you make the cut, everyone's back to zero, and your job is to make the cut. You're not trying to win it for that.
Which I think is more of a test of skill. It comes at the expense of giving that extra credit for the people who've had the good first day or first 2 days. But you definitely, I guarantee you, you'd get better players if you reset after both cuts.
Well, sure. But I don't think it's that unfair. There's lots of competition where once you make the cut, you're just playing to make the cut.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I was heavily out. nobody else. Well, I don't know nobody.
It's a democracy. You may be the head of the committee, but it's a democracy, it sounds like.
In the minority of that. So, I still kind of like that idea.
I do think it's interesting.
I don't think you need this. I don't think we want to go to live bankroll. We have plenty of big live bankroll contests. And, I think this is a cool game that we sort of created. It tests you in a different way. It makes you grind a little bit. You can't win it on one race or one play. It pushes you out of your comfort zone. You can't just play the races you like.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's a perfect format, but I don't think we want to lose all that just because some people want to make it a bankroll contest.
Do you think the current final table could work on television? It's a hard question.
Mean, live poker doesn't work either. Yeah. If you edit it the right way, I think it certainly could.
I just worry about the I mean, we've seen in the final tables, I feel like we've seen one person who wasn't first win. Am I right?
I'm a math guy, and you're in a really small sample size.
Okay, fair enough.
We might have a super exciting final table this year, and I hope we do. I'm not ready to say just because we haven't had a thriller in the first 4 or 5 years doesn't mean it's never going to happen.
Gotcha.
There's something to be said for people who dominate a competition the whole way through. I mean, Secretariat winning the Belmont's pretty exciting, even if it wasn't close race.
Robert Gilbert certainly really putting the sword to this field so far. Is he a player that you've met?
I don't know him at all, but he's having a heck of 2 days.
He got into tournaments. I don't know if you know this. You might have read it in an article I wrote long ago, but he got into tournaments at approximately the age of 60 because of the Horse Players TV show. To bring it back to television for a second, and started playing and has qualified for this event, I think, five times since then, and is now making this great run. He's got a significant lead. I hear players talk a lot of the time about the pressure when you're the one being chased as opposed to the one chasing. But I do feel like in this format, I mean, you want to be in first, don't you, at this point?
What does it matter if people are chasing you? It's not like they can put a $200 cold try to pass you up. I mean,
right. Not like in live bank, which
is totally
that does
different.
Happen.
And someone can beat you off in one play. You know, here, if you're in the, it's hard for them to catch you, and they can't just do it all in one race. So,
what was your reaction to the NHC Tour race this year?
Well, it was really interesting. I mean, I would have, you know, taken pretty short odds on Paul Sherman winning.
Yeah, I think privately I called him 1-9.
He's the best contest player there is, I think. All around, he can play every format. And so I thought, you know, he was gone. You know, he had been he was in a good position, and I figured he would do well. It would take some incredible run to beat him, and Dave just had that incredible run, you know. It was about – and we always see that. It's weird. Almost every year, somebody gets incredibly hot. Jonathan Kenshin did it 1 year. I mean –
Sumja that year that he won the tour. And
Paul Sherman's gotten hot. I mean, it just seems like every year somebody has this incredible run. Yeah. You can't sustain it, but, boy, you know, you can ride it for a while. And
all right, I'll ask you a tough one. Now, Dave, obviously – And I think it might not always come off that way, but I think, you know, some of his critiques of the event, they do come from a place of love. Are you at all nervous about what he's going to say up there on that stage Sunday night as somebody who's so intimately involved with the NHC?
No, not really. I mean, he's entitled to his own opinion. And I don't mind people being critical of things. It's just, you know, it's the tone and manner that you do it. And if you start attacking individuals, or, you know, just disparaging everything for an extended period of time, that's just not constructive.
Right.
But, you know, anything is far from perfect. And constructive criticism is the only way you improve, right?
Right.
Self-criticism or from other people.
Got some folks yelling at this race here.
It's all about how you go about it.
Yeah, I think
so,
that's fair.
I'm not nervous at all. Dave's a good guy. I mean, he can have his strong opinions. He can kind of go get up and down in his moods. But, you know, he deserves to be able to say something because he had a heck of a run. I mean, he had as good of, you know, 2 or 3 months as anybody's ever had on the tour. So he earned it.
It really was remarkable. I mean, I'd love to know the math of what price really was Paul to win at one point and what price was Dave.
If we had markets on it, you know, it would have been one of these things like you see in-game play where somebody's like at 98% to win and all of a sudden it starts dropping.
Yeah, I think that's probably – I really think that math is right. And Dave – and even the chance of him winning, the chance that it was Dave who didn't play for the first half of the year beating him, I mean, that was – I mean, longer than 100-1, certainly.
Well, that's one thing, though, about the way we structured the tour. We wanted to make it so somebody couldn't lock it up.
Right.
Well. And you couldn't just – and so it's set up that way where if you get hot, you know, you only get – so many scores that count, and once you've been playing a while, it's hard to raise your score.
Well, this year proves,
you know,
that you've accomplished
that
goal.
Not having played much, every time he did well, that was a big jump.
Yeah,
you know, and
that was wild. What do we have here? My eyes aren't good enough to see. We had a price at Santa Anita.
Yeah, 12-1. Hold on, and really dig in, Jeff Bondi. 12-1. So you're going to have a $25-$26 horse at Santa Anita with a 9-2 runner up, and you. Have got about a minute and change. They're on the track for Gulfstream for the El Prado. So we got that stake. And then right after that, you're going to have the stake at Oaklawn, 5 minutes to the King Cotton. And then 7 minutes later, you'll go back to Tampa for the Sam Davis.
I assume you have some bets to make here. I don't want to keep you too long.
No, I actually have put the bets I have.
Oh, you're already in?
The reason I walked over here is just because this is one of the few times I've had any kind of
a breather,
of a break.
That was nice of you to join us. It's always great to get your perspective as a competitor and also some of this behind-the-scenes stuff, and I appreciate you not blanching at some of the tougher questions I've been asking you. I don't do it to be cheeky. I know you'll have good responses, and I know you understand the importance of having some of these tougher conversations as well.
No, I just I like to talk about all this stuff, and you know, I've heard most of these questions all the time,
right,
many
right.
times before, not necessarily on the air, but it's all good. It's all good.
Let's take a look. What'd you do in the mandatory here, the Gulfstream 11th, Chris?
I went with the four horse Siding Spring.
Yeah, so did I, actually.
Siding Spring, yeah. Oh.
So did I. 12-1 currently.
So, for any listeners out there playing, whatever you do, don't play it to win. It might run second. I've had a lot of those. Probably run third. I've had more of those. So, just a heads up. I put the kibosh on the four. So.
All right, there you go. There you go. We'll check this out.
Let's. They're not on the course yet, so let's run down. Golden Dragon for Yannikoff and Lionel Reyes, 81-1. Holiday Stone, George Weaver, who, of course, won the Suncoast minutes ago at Tampa. It's got 19-1 on Holiday Stone. Vici, Mike Maker, 12-1. These are all horses that the Holiday Stone and Vici are okay. These are all exotic candidates at the least. Siding Spring was a bad morning line, 20-1. 12-1, though. Mr. Cub, of course, Ian Wilkes and son-in-law Chris Landeros, 5-2. CM Riep hasn't taken any money. Kolb on the board, 8-1 for Ben Colebrook and Saya as the leading rider. Hembry, who came up yesterday with the Maven, 2-1 favorite, Hembry. Wow. That's a little nuts.
Maven pounded him.
Krampus, maybe. 8-1 on Krampus for Bill Mott. Swagger Jagger, that's another overlay. 34-1
that's
on
my
Swagger
bomb
Jagger.
I played on my
Holy
other entry,
cow.
Swagger Jagger.
That's yeah. nuts. And Cowboy Culture, who I used as an alternative horse, and I used in the plays on my selections today. Cowboy Culture, Norm Cassie, 20-1. Uncle B, 9-1 for Lily Curtens, and 33-1 for Abiding Star, Kathleen O'Connell. Abiding Star is now 6. And, of course, for a long time, Ned Allard. A lot of success Ned had with Abiding Star. $26 winner at Santa Anita for Jeff Bondi. And $11 play. So a nice fat $37 to somebody's coffers, undoubtedly.
Can't wait to see these new leaderboards. It's going to be exciting to see things continue to shake up. Your current guess, Chris, at what the cut's going to be today?
You know, I think it'll be a little higher than it has been traditionally because there's so many prices today. So I'd say maybe 180, 185, something
gotcha,
like that.
Gotcha. Still all to play for a lot of people, including yourself. And this race could go a long way to determining who's going to advance to our semifinal round tomorrow.
A few more to load. This is the El Prado. They're going to go 7.5, and the rail is set at 12 feet with this group. And this thing, one of the more, this was probably a race a lot of people circled for counting on a price, you know, getting late in the afternoon, you would think.
No doubt about it.
They're in the gate. Here we go. Pete Aiello.
What are your numbers?
And they're off in the El Prado. Uncle B from his outside gate away well. Far outside, Abiding Star wants to get over. Moving between horses is Mr. Cub, and Siding Spring is along the rail. Then back to Swagger Jagger. He's away mid-flight. And down at the inside goes Holiday Stone. CM Reap is between horses in the charge around the first turn. Abiding Star has an early tussle with Siding Spring up front. And Mr. Cub and Landeros get exactly the spot they want, third behind the speed. CM Reap is racing from fourth end to the outside in Uncle B. Three wide, Swagger Jagger. Two back to Vici and Holiday Stone. Then comes Golden Dragon, paired off with Krampus toward the back. A length and a half to Hembry, who's second last, and the trailer is Cowboy Culture. 22-2 for an aggressive opening quarter speed, and a mid-race move comes from Swagger Jagger, forcing the hand of Uncle B as Abiding Star maintains control. Siding Spring is fourth, and Mr. Cub is fifth. Then CM Reap from sixth, while three wide, racing ahead of Vici and Holiday Stone. Four back to Krampus, who gives the green light by Manny Cruz to get some ground made up. Then Cowboy Culture, who improves to his inside ahead of Hembry, and Golden Dragon is last. They run to the top of the stretch and take closer order as Uncle B is up to challenge for the top from the inside. Abiding Star, Mr. Cub needs out. He gets out. He's up now to challenge for the lead. Down the center and CM Reap from last. It's Hembry. Final eighth of a mile. Uncle B tries to hold him off here. Hembry down the center. Mr. Cub from between horses, and then it's Krampus in deep stretch. Hembry from way back up in time. Second is Mr. Cub. Third is Uncle B, then Cowboy Culture in 127 flat.
And there you go. As soon as you're looking for prices, you get the two favorites. They're in the gate at Oaklawn, Case. Let's pick up what's going on at Oaklawn in the King Cotton.
They're off. In Gordy, Florida, flashing good speed here. Wilbo right up the inside. Ballandine, AM, Milky Way, and Hartwood. Hartwood to Gray moving up. Now a four-way battle for the lead. Gordy, Florida with the lead by a half length. Hartwood right there. AM, Milky Way third. Ballandine to the outside fourth. Wilbo on the inside. Bourbon Cowboy is alongside Wilbo. Then a gap of about two lengths to Toasting Master. Control Stake is trailing the field. They arrive at the far turn. Gordy, Florida takes them to the far turn. Hartwood sits right outside of him. In the clear and a very close second, followed to the extreme outside by Ballandine. Then Bourbon Cowboy from Batine. Wilbo awaits clear sailing. He's right on the inside in that barrage of three behind what are now essentially dueling leaders. Then Toasting Master to the far outside. A Milky Way in Control Stake, straightening away at the top of the stretch. Here comes the light gray Hartwood, challenging Gordy Florida, who tries to fight back on the inside. Then Bourbon Cowboy. Wilbo is yet to get a clear run here, and as they come to the finish, it is Hartwood and Gordy Florida on the inside. Hartwood, Gordy Florida, a late bid here from Control Stake, but Hartwood takes the King Cotton, and he does it under David Cohen.
There might have been, I don't know if there was an objection, but there was definitely some horses that steadied in the stretch at Gulfstream. So
now, there was, well, and you know, that that turn, when the rail's down all the way inside, you know, they all kind of stack up. If you're down on the inside there, you're generally in trouble. We were watching Siding Spring, and B.J. Hernandez had nowhere to go with him. I don't see a light going on, but here's Hembry, who we talked about, of course, yesterday with Dave Goodfriend, and Hembry 5-2 winner, not going to help Dave in his quest to move into position and, you know, be part of the 67 moving into the semifinals, but. 5-2 over 2-1. Your numbers 8, 5, 12, 11 at Gulfstream in the El Prado. And of course, this also, you know, after the big fireworks at the start of the Rainbow Six, you know, the crazy number winner to start things, it's been very formful.
Yeah, that horse won at 50-1, and he won like he was a. Should have been 1-50.
Well, you know, and that's something, that's a jockey situation where, you know, it's a cheaper race, and they see a horse setting, you know, good fractions for that level, and they figure, oh, he's going to burn out. Next thing you know, when a horse is all relaxed up front like that, they're not so easy to reel back in after that. And that's exactly what happened.
That Pete is disappearing on me. Last time I saw him, there was a lot more Pete.
How about that, right?
Pretty amazing.
How about that?
Yes.
How about that?
This guy could, like, win a Biggest Loser contest in the last 6 months or whatever. It's amazing. You're looking great, Pete.
Thank you, buddy. I'll tell you what, Chris. You, I think it was a couple of years ago at this event, we had a conversation that I often think back to, where you were just talking about your routine and how, you know, you prioritize it, you find the time, and, you know, that's been a big part of it, and it's been very motivating. I'm getting ready. I'm going to put up my Just Giving page soon, but I'm running this race at the end of March in London, doing the London Half Marathon around the I'm doing some work on TV over there. I'm going to be doing the Cheltenham Festival, and then it closes with the London Half, and it's a charity race.
There is an objection, by the way, at Gulfstream.
Oh, interesting. Have you seen the head-on yet?
Yeah, they're showing it right now, and there's the usual herding, and the hurdy-gurdy men are working it overtime.
But it's
Hartwood, by the way, 2-1 winner in the King Cotton.
You want some water? Keep that whistle wet.
Thank you.
And it's been good having that motivation and just getting into the daily routine. And, you know, it's really, to be perfectly honest, when I was younger, anytime you got into trouble with anything health-wise, I'd always try to exercise my way out, really focusing on diet, like actually trying to eat well for the first time ever in terms of, like, portion control and things like that. It's made a difference.
I remember that. I think my son was here.
Yes.
And he's, you know, a real fitness expert.
Well, I talked to both of you guys, and you gave great advice. It just took me a while to put it in. Has he been playing in tournaments at all lately?
No, he's pretty busy with twin the sons.
How are they doing?
He's actually really into his martial arts competition. He was in Atlanta today for a competition.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Someday I want to get him back. He's just so busy right now. He played a couple of online. No, not online. I don't think he played anything this year, actually.
I remember he qualified for the Breeders' Cup. That was one of my favorite pieces I ever wrote at the old job about him and the idea of the similarities between the mixed martial arts competition and the different type of fight that this is.
Right. Yeah, he had a little bit of time when he first got out of the Army where he was doing it, and he went to the BCBC, qualified for the NHC, but then he's just been too busy. He got married. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Kids. And the other cool point I remember him making was that in that time when he was right out of the service, I mean, he was doing some no disrespect to anybody serving, but he was doing some particularly, like, adrenaline-focused work, like defusing bombs or something crazy.
It's called combat engineer. Their job, the route clearance, so they...
Yeah,
they go out in front of the troops up in the foothills where all the bad guys are and try to flush them out and look for any explosive devices. Yeah. So, you know, you're constantly wondering if someone's going to shoot at you or try to blow you up, 24 hours a day.
Intense. I'm sure that was real fun as a parent.
Oh, my wife. when he was forward deployed. My wife in particular.
Oh, my God. But he said that the contest actually helped him. You go through, like, a serious adrenaline withdrawal.
Oh, yeah.
And contests for him were a way, of getting that little adrenal drip going again. I guess, I imagine chasing twin boys around gives you plenty of that.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they turn out. They could be a lot of fun. Someday they'll be the exact in the NHC. That's my goal.
That's pretty good. Look out, Sherman. So we got another.
Right.
We got some other siblings coming down the pike here. That's very, very cool.
There.
All right. Well, I will. I'll let you guys get back to it. Thanks for letting me chat a little.
Chris,
bit.
Always
anytime.
Tremendous.
Stop by again tomorrow.
So. Please do. Godspeed today.
Chris Larmy, everybody. And, of course, Chris was on a panel together. We were together at a symposium, which was a... I went to look for the transcript. I don't think that transcript has been done yet. I got to go back and look.
I think it's there. Because I've been meaning to follow up on that conversation, and I haven't forgotten about that. It's just been so crazy with the new show and everything. But we'll talk more about all that stuff, and we'll have you on very soon.
They're watching at Fairgrounds. We're at 0 minutes to post at Tampa for the Sam Davis. You got a frenetic across the track at Fairgrounds. Any of five or six can win, and you got at least a 9-1. And I think that's what's going to... I think the 9 horse here is going to be your winner, and I think was a decent price.
How about
the
this?
One, wait, the 1 and the 3 on the outside? Was that the 3?
It looked like the 3 maybe, but it's too close to call. But that would talk about a race that people ask, if anyone asks, if you fall apart late, what does it mean? What does it mean when a race falls apart late? That was it. This horse was pretty much literally not in the picture, and then all of a sudden, right on the wire, you can throw a blank it over about 3 of them here, and let's see, we're watching it in slow motion now. The 3 has all the momentum. The 1 is finding though down, and it's off. I'm not gonna embarrass myself, especially not being close to the screen with picking that photo out. I'll leave that to you guys at home, and we'll see it here in a minute at Fairgrounds. But a lot of skin in the game here for various players. The 3 we think may have gotten up only 3-1. The 1 looks like the squarer price of 8-1, and there's some more excitement in the room here. Not even sure which track folks are watching at this point, or if they're just rewatching this replay and deciding they've won. We've got Golden Gate race 4 happening at the same time, and then of course 0 minutes to the Sam Davis. That's going to be very interesting as we really get into the Kentucky Derby trail beginning in earnest over the course of the next few weeks. This, of course, Tampa Bay Derby preview day, and the Sam Davis an important step along the way. All right, they've posted it, and the 1 did hold on down towards the rail at Fairgrounds. 8-1 winner. Boy, that's tough if you had the 9. You really did look like winning there for a minute, and you wind up not even getting the place points. That is a bit of a kick in the teeth if you were on that one. But The result at Fairgrounds comes 1-3-9-10. And the horses are just beginning to load at Tampa. It looks like they're going to take a minute to get in there. Casey, maybe that would be a cool race to take for its Derby implications once that gets going on. Unless that's you, Casey, on the phone with Steve. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to keep talking because that's what we do. Dead air is, my dad taught me a long time ago, not something that you can allow to happen if you want to be in this business. And it's good practice anyway for me. I don't really ever get to talk by myself. So I'm just going to keep going. Excited to watch this race at Tampa, definitely. And, yeah, I think we can hopefully go to the audio here. Richard Grunder with the call at Tampa Bay.
Takes his spot. Well defined, and now there's two more to go. Still dreaming from the outside. He steps in. They're at the post. And they're off and running in the 39th running of the Sam Davis. Up on the outside, well defined, is gunning for the early lead. Nick Sko. The favorite comes away in good order now, second. Going for gold is there toward the rail, third. Five Star General gets over nicely now, fourth. And the last horse away is the late running, So Alive. Around the clubhouse turn they go. Well defined, tears clear now to lead the race by four. Nick Sko settles into stride nicely now, second, three parts of a length. Going for gold is there toward the rail now, third. Then it's a break of four lengths back. Moonster skims the rail now, fourth. Five Star General, three deep on the outside and racing along, fifth. From between horses, Still Dreaming, sixth. Then it's 2.5 lengths farther back to Godolphin Stables, Kentucky Wildcat. Then it's a length and a half farther back to Moonster. And far, far back at this point is the late running So Alive. They leave the half-mile marker. Well-defined in Morales. They're trying to steal off in the Sam Davis. They have the lead, 2.5. Nick Sko on the outside. Now gets the wake-up call and shaken up for run, second. Going for gold is toward the rail, third. Still Dreaming is now putting in a run, now fourth. There goes Kentucky Wildcat. And Joe Bravo has him running. But as they approach the quarter-mile pole, Well-defined is still the target. He's widening on the field by three. Here's Kentucky Wildcat under an all-out ride, running at the leader second. Down along the inner rail, Nick Sko appears to be struggling third. They're into the stretch and the upset might be on. It's Well Defined still in front. Kentucky Wildcat continues to surge at the leader on the outside. Well Defined down to the wire. The local connections, Kathleen O'Connell, Pablo Morales, make every pole a winning one. Kentucky Wildcat second, So Alive flies on to be third. A three-horse photo for fourth, and the running time on the board, 142.70, 7-1 on the winner.
If you were rooting for the home team, you got the money there. Kathleen O'Connell and Well Defined gets the job done in wire-to-wire fashion. Not a race I would have thought would have had a wire winner, and if it did have a wire winner, I might have thought it would have been Nick's Go and not Well Defined. Really runs a very big race, cuts out all those fractions, and just keeps on finding. Going to be interesting to see where what happens next. This is one who was well beaten after contesting the pace in the Mucho Macho Man last time. That race had some quick interior fractions, but a very enterprising ride today, and they get the money. Steve, what did you think of that performance by Well Defined in the Sam Davis?
Well, Well Defined has been such an interesting case for Kathleen O'Connell. She was very frustrated, obviously, with the way the year ended last year, and there was never a question that he didn't, about talent, that he had ability. And this circumstance, you could see on this was something while you were gone, we were talking with Chris about the long shot at Gulfstream, and when you get a horse relaxed on the lead like that, their ears are pricked and they're just out there loping, you got trouble. Yeah. And Kentucky Wildcat made his run, but Well Defined was already basically home free, 7-1, and what a nice outcome for Kathleen O'Connell, one of the really underappreciated talents in the last 35 years.
It was impressive, a terrific training performance, and they just came up with the right strategy from that outside post, and they get the job done. Disappointing stuff from Nick's go. I would have thought that he probably would have shown a little bit more there, but that's kind of two disappointing races in a row. Be interesting to see what happens there, if there's any excuse that I didn't see watching the tape back. I didn't notice any trouble, but again, I'm looking at a TV across a ballroom. I could be missing something that's obvious.
No, well-defined pays $16.760, and plenty of people that liked. And in fact, yesterday when Nick Tamaro and I were putting together the multi-race conversation, the game builder, we really didn't have a chance to finalize it, you know, given all the overwhelming obligations here, and Brian Skarka, and you know, Nick also said, you know, this is a horse that you got at least, you know, you got at least cover. You got at least Smart. Be, you got to be at least cognizant that well-defined could do something in here. We've got to do something too. We got to take a break because we haven't had one for over an hour and a half.
Oh,
so
wow.
Let's take it here, and we'll come back. We've got probably about 2 hours yet to fill out today, and we'll take a look at that leaderboard. And now that the went official at Gulfstream, because the you did have a DQ. Hembry was fine, but the runner-up was shoved down pretty extensively, I think. I didn't really see what happened, but Cowboy Culture got moved up to second, and that was a decent mutual.
Yeah, that could be a significant move in this contest. We'll see, like you say, 2 more hours, lots of jockeying for position. We're going to get down to our semifinal round here, just finishing up on moving day here at the NHC.
Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.